Out, freak out. I am here to tell you that you need to calm down. So a video game's gonna be a little late. People have lives. Stuff happens. Grow up. Get a set in between your legs and live life. That is the message from the Macho Man Randy Savage, who is not even in the video game this year. So what do I care? Chris Walder, what do you think about it?
You mean I have to wait an extra month to play WWE 2K15? This will not stand. And you know what, Savage? You might actually be in the game, so you should be disappointed more than anybody.
Where am I getting a residual check, huh? It's just going to Lanny. Screw that!
Oh, my goodness.
All right, that is enough of Randy, but yeah, Lanny Poffo's getting that money. What does Randy care? I am James Borath. He is Chris Walder. We are here each and every week to talk professional wrestling in your ear for about an hour and a half. The odd time we have a guest, although we haven't had one in a long time, maybe, just maybe, we will have one at some point, though. Jay Lethal, we'll get into it. We have made contact with Jay Lethal, but not about an interview, about something else. We'll get into it later. We opened the door with the video game mess. Obviously, we had the CM Punk news a couple weeks ago. This is not anything to do with that. Like, this video game just is late, and this stuff happens all the time when they have new generation systems. I don't know why everyone's so just utterly pissed off about this. I mean, it happens all the time. It's happened before. It's only about 3 weeks, right? It's not even a full month. So I kind of agree with the Randy Savage promo, which I often do because, you know, it's almost like I do them. So I don't think it's as big a deal as everyone's making it out to be. If you have an old generation system, you're still getting it on time. So what do you care?
Well, I'm in that category too. I only have a PlayStation 3, but I'm hearing through the grapevine that my girlfriend might be interested in getting me a PlayStation 4, so I might have to hold out for that.
Wow, what things do you have to do for the girlfriend for that to happen?
We're going to keep that on the down low, James.
No, I want details now. You've opened the Pandora's box.
You know, some sucking up, some flowers, some dinners here and there, you know, just kind of, you know, test the waters.
No, like going to the ballet or something really that you wouldn't want to admit to on air, nothing like that?
No, ballet. Thank God she's not like that. I couldn't sit through Swan Lake or any of that stuff.
Okay, then this topic has ceased to interest me, so we will move on. Although, any time your girlfriend has opinions on wrestling, feel free to bring them into the program, because I like that. I really wanted to know what she thought of Mojo Rawley.
Actually, you know what? The first text message she sent me in the morning, it was actually five in succession, and all it said was S-A-W-F-T, and I couldn't believe it. She actually remembered that from NXT.
Wow, and they have a female part of their group now, too.
Do they?
They do. As of last night, they added another female to the mix of the little, I guess they're going full bore with this whole Jersey Shore thing.
Well, who is it?
I'm not, you know, Josh mentioned her name on the podcast last night, and I don't remember what it was, but I thought it was Becky Lynch, and they were repackaged her and felt great about that, but it was
right.
Not Becky Lynch, so.
Well, it's not that. What was her name? Cookie from TNA, when the girl that was with Robbie E for a bit?
I don't know.
Same stick, I guess.
It's same stick, though, yeah. Yeah, so basically, it's not the girl that got fired today, so it's not her.
That's true, too. Yeah, Kendall Sky or whatever her name is. Yeah, I haven't heard of her.
It's not her. So go back to the podcast that got put up this morning. The name's there. Josh knew it. I don't. I suck. Josh, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
You're the host.
All right. Well, Josh, maybe Josh can do two podcasts a week now, and we'll just, you know.
Whoa. Hello.
You don't know her name either, so, like, we're between us.
Rest in peace, Chris's podcasting career.
No. But you know what we should do? When we bring back Hanging on the Moon, we should do the triple show, have all three of us on at once. Once we get our technical issues worked out with Google Hangout. Are you down for that?
Yeah, I'm absolutely down.
All right. Well, there's a little planning on the fly on the podcast for you people. Live negotiations. There's nothing like that. Vince McMahon was a big fan of that when CM Punk wanted to do it, so we'll do it here on this show as well.
Nice.
Anyway, back to those jokers in NXT. Yeah, it looks like they're going to have a female now. And I asked Josh this. He didn't have an answer. Maybe you do for this one. Other than Team Extreme, have we ever seen like a threesome where all three can wrestle? Because it looks like that's where we're heading with this.
Oh, man. I'm trying to look back in the vault here. And, you know, remember TNA for a bit, but Trish Stratus wasn't near the...
She wasn't a wrestler at that point,
yeah,
though. She was a valet. I mean, Deuce and Domino, they had the blonde girl with them, again, a valet. I'm trying to think of, like, an active competitor wrestler female.
Yeah.
That was with two guys, and I don't recall since Team Extreme, so...
Well, maybe AJ and then Ziggler and Big E, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That was a threesome, where everybody wrestled. So, yeah, that good one, Walder.
There you go. All right, coming through in the clutch.
There you go. But, yeah, so... anyway, that's happening in NXT. We'll get into more NXT later. But Night of Champions, boy oh boy, I tell you, we joked about it on the show last week about not really knowing any of the matches and not really caring.
Yeah.
A Raw that was totally annoying for many reasons we'll get into later. And a week passing by, I still feel the same way. This card that was supposed to be so huge and important for the WWE and for the network, I think, is just the most lame thing I've ever seen. Like, it's not to say the matches will be bad. I think this show could end up very much like WWE Payback, in the sense of no one's excited for it, but I think we'll actually get good matches on the show. But that said, I'm not excited to see any of these matches. Even Brock and Cena, I don't care. I mean, I think it's an abomination if they have Brock lose, and if Brock wins, well, that's what I expected to happen anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like an overhyped episode of Monday Night Raw, and especially last week, I feel like that's the go-home show before a pay-per-view. They're supposed to like really bring you in, and I understand the whole logistics of the WWE network, and maybe they don't have to try as hard, but at the same time, for like the really hardcore fan or someone who isn't subscribed, you really have to kind of set the tone and say, you know what, this is why you need to buy Night of Champions. I don't think they did that. And I think they made a slew of mistakes on Raw that, I mean, me and you will get into, but it made you want to tear your hair out because it's like, why are they doing this?
Let's start with the most obvious one and the absolute most stupid thing that I've ever seen on wrestling in a long, long time. We have two guys have not faced in a match in the WWE on the roster. I know they've wrestled in NXT. We're not talking about that. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, first time ever. You got it on the pay-per-view. You gave it away on the Monday Night Raw before. Hello? Like, what the hell is this company thinking?
And Roman Reigns, the face, goes over cleanly. It's not as if Rollins won and then you can just kind of say, well, Reigns, can he get his revenge on Sunday night? You know, he doesn't have to anymore. He beat him on Monday Night Raw. We're just getting the rematch for the sake of getting the rematch. Course, a possible Dean Ambrose appearance, but it's like, why would you do that? That's probably, arguably, the second biggest match on the card, and you gave it away for free the week before.
Oh no, don't you know that's now Mark Henry and Rusev? We'll get into that
later.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
later.
That. Yeah.
But that is now the co-main event. If you didn't know, now you know. But no, I think this is a way of protecting Roman Reigns. I guess, because Dean Ambrose is going to come out and obviously get Roman Reigns disqualified, you would have to imagine, because he's going to just go crazy on Seth. That would be my only explanation as to why you would give this match away. But even then, I still don't. It's ridiculous. Like, so what? So Roman Reigns doesn't get a win on the pay-per-view. He's going to be okay from that. Dean Ambrose just went nuts and attacked him. Like, What's Roman Reigns going to do? How is Roman Reigns hurt by that in any way? That would be my point.
Well, either way, it kind of looks like we're... And the rumors were that at Hell in a Cell, the following pay-per-view, we were going to get a Roman Reigns versus Triple H match. And since they haven't really teased any of that as of late, rumors are coming out now that we might actually get a triple threat match between the Shield guys. So there's a possibility that Ambrose interferes on Sunday and just causes a no contest. And we've seen in the past, you know, fans kind of got upset when the Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins match, I believe, at Battleground was canceled. So maybe they didn't want to have a no contest again without having, you know, we saw on Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns beat Seth Rollins. Maybe that'll kind of hold fans over until we get the definitive conclusion of this whole thing.
But the guy who gets hurt the most from that is Seth Rollins, right? Because Seth Rollins now, like, he looks like a tool, which almost makes me wonder. There's lots of, like, the obvious thing is Brock wins, but if the obvious doesn't happen, is Seth Rollins going to end up walking away with the title after this? Because they can't put it on Cena. And the one thing I haven't heard talked about, everyone talks about the idea of Brock beating the hell out of Cena and Cena somehow pulling out the win and Seth Rollins coming out and pinning him. What if the opposite happened? What if Cena beat the hell out of Brock after Brock won and Seth beat up, like, just took advantage of a knocked out Brock Lesnar? Why can't that happen?
Not happening.
Why can't it, though?
No, it can happen, but it's not going to. They're not going to have Rollins beat Lesnar. They're going to have Rollins beat Cena if it comes down to that. I still don't think it's going to happen. I think we're just going to get Lesnar with a clean victory, and we'll go more in depth when we talk about the card. But you know what? With the Money in the Bank briefcase, that's basically like a bulletproof vest for Rollins. No matter how he looks in this whole thing with Ambrose and Roman Reigns, he can lose the entire time. If he cashes in that Money in the Bank and becomes champion, that's all that's really going to matter.
Yeah, but you see, that case used to feel that way. I don't think it is that way anymore. They did the same thing with Dolph Ziggler. They did the same thing with a few other guys. It devalues them. And once they get to that title run, I don't think it means as much. And I said all along, when Seth Rollins got the briefcase in the whole first place, he's the last guy in the Shield that should have got it because he's the least believable in winning that title, in my opinion. I can build a case for Roman Reigns being the champion. I can build a case for Dean Ambrose being the champion. I can't really build that case for Seth Rollins.
Right. I mean, it just fit into the whole, like, he's a member of the Authority and he can cash in as kind of like the plan B in case Triple H can't get the belt off someone he doesn't want as champion, so... It fits storyline-wise, but yeah, out of the three Shield guys, he's the least believable.
And it's not to say at some point down the line, because I know some people love Seth Rollins and you know all of that, and I'm okay with that. It's just at this point, from a believability standpoint, it's not there yet. It's not there for Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is a guy that's relying on other people to do his dirty work right now. That's not exactly a strong guy looking to make a run for a world title, in my opinion.
And he's an afterthought almost in the faction that he's a part of. So making him the world champion, it would almost be like, you know, when Randy Orton got his first world championship reign and he was still like the third or fourth string in Evolution, and they almost immediately took the belt off of him because they couldn't feel like he could roll with the punches and be the main guy on the roster. And I feel like it's going to be the same circumstances this time.
But I think that was more a case of, here, we're going to give Randy this carrot. We want to get the belt off Benoit. And we wanted eventually to get back to Triple H. And the way they did it was Triple H didn't have to screw Benoit and get his win back. They used Randy to get his win back. And that's how it all went down. But that's history. You can relive all that on the WWE Network for $9.99.
Oh, God. Do we really have to say the price here? Would they all know?
It's $11.99 here, actually, in Canada.
Yeah, Canada, yeah.
And you probably can't go back and see that match that we just talked about.
Yeah, probably not. Have we even bothered to check if any of the Benoit stuff is there?
Oh, the Benoit stuff is there, but here in Canada it won't be because we have no archive. We have nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Benoit stuff will be the last stuff we get. Even though he was Canadian. But we were probably more affected by what happened with Chris Benoit than anyone. That would be the WWE's logic, I would assume. But
right.
I don't know. That's a conversation for a different show and a different day. But bottom line is, I don't know. I don't know where they're heading with this other than Brock winning it. All these other scenarios don't make a lot of sense. But I think, you know, If there's any scenario that does make sense, I don't think having Seth pin Cena makes any sense. I think having him kind of screw Cena out of his chance somehow makes the most sense.
But do we think he gets the victory over Roman Reigns, though?
I don't know. I mean, it all depends. Like, if he's going to get the title at the end of the night, then it doesn't matter if he beats Roman Reigns, right? Because he's going to end up with the title at the end of the night. So, you know, and Roman Reigns has already beat him clean on Raw, which that's its own bizarro world. So I don't know how it all works. What I do know is Seth Rollins is set to work a house show with John Cena in Toronto in 2 weeks. So obviously something's happening between those two between now and then.
Well, cards are always subject to change, so that's why I'm not looking too much at a house show card. But, yeah, if you want to, you can make a case that that might be a reasoning for Rollins to become champion. Maybe he gets into a program with Cena. Who knows?
Who knows? But, I mean, you know, I don't think that's the answer. That's the point. Although, the one thing I say, with him beating Brock, not that I'm going to beat this to death. Maybe I am, but I'm going to anyway. The whole idea of a heel beating Brock Lesnar, who's another heel, I think is just great because he can brag about all this stuff. And then maybe, actually, you could turn Brock into a babyface who comes back and smashes this guy. Like,
now we're going really bizarre.
Well, no, but think about it, because everyone assumes that Brock is going to do all these extra dates, which is going to cost the WWE a ton of money. Maybe they're not. Maybe they want to have it in their back pocket if they need it. But in the scenario I'm painting, Seth Rollins becomes your WWE champion. He's screwed over Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar comes back when he normally does at Royal Rumble and just crushes Seth. And then you have Roman Reigns go and crush Brock Lesnar.
No, the thing is that they're not going to lay the groundwork for any sort of Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar feud. I think you just got to have, if you're going to do the Rollins cash-in or whatever, it has to be over Cena, unfortunately, even if it means him tying Flair on Sunday night.
It's not going to be like a feud. It's going to be a beating. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be one match, Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar kicks his ass and takes his title back.
Yeah, but you would almost have to make a feud out of it just because of like the significance WWE has right now on Brock Lesnar, the guy who just decimated John Cena at SummerSlam, the guy who beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. If you're going to have him lose the title to Seth Rollins, you have to get some sort of program out of that. You just can't have a simple annihilation of him on pay-per-view. You have to have a program.
No, what's going to happen is Seth is going to brag about it for 6 months, and then Heyman's going to come around about a month before Royal Rumble and say, you know, you've been shooting your mouth off for about 6 months. I just like to inform you, my client's coming back at the Royal Rumble, and he's invoking his rematch clause. So enjoy your bragging for another 30 days.
No, that's I can't see that working. I just can't.
I don't know. It's some out-of-the-box thinking, which the WWE never does, so it's probably not happening. But it was an interesting road to go down.
It's like we're starting from the top of the Night of Champions card. We basically just gave away what we think is happening in the main event.
Oh, I mean, I think everyone is pretty much on board with Brock is going to win.
Is there any chance Cena wins and the show ends with him as champion?
There's always a chance because Vince McMahon is the biggest John Cena fan of anyone.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
I could only imagine what the backlash would be on social media if Night of Champions ends with confetti streaming from the sky and the fireworks going off because John Cena just tied Ric Flair to become a 16-time champion and beat Brock Lesnar in the process.
That's the cherry on top of it, too. He ties Flair with the win over Brock Lesnar. That would be... And he's the one that beat the one.
Yeah.
And, like...
Like, he needs all of these accolades.
Like, people... We need to take a couple of steps back. People seem to forget, this was supposed to be Daniel Bryan's program.
It really was.
It was supposed to be Daniel Bryan losing to Brock at SummerSlam, and I assume a rematch in which Daniel Bryan was going to win at Night of Champions.
Yes.
We've gone so far away from that now that I don't know what the heck to make of it. And all along, the network has been getting worse and worse. Which, you know, Vince presses the panic button, he goes to John Cena, he goes to someone he knows, and I think Vince has got to press the panic button and do the opposite. I think it's time. Like, we're going to get into all the NXT guys and the great interview they did on WWE.com, which I referenced earlier in the week in an article I wrote on NXT. You know, people are ready for, like, this new generation. Like, when Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and all that, they called it the new generation. People want a new generation right now, and they're sick of anything tied to that old generation. I mean, you look at it. Is there a guy that's over from, like, the past, like, the long past of the WWE? Kane. Everyone wants him gone. We tried to murder him on the podcast last week, I believe. Randy Orton. I don't think anyone's clamoring to see Randy Orton. There was a rumor the Big Show was going to fight Brock Lesnar next. That horrified people, and rightfully so. Anyone I'm missing who's like of the old guard? Other than, I think people still like seeing Triple H.
Yeah.
But he is that special attraction now. You don't see him very often. So of the regular guys that are the old guard, am I missing anybody? Because I don't think I am, and no one wants to see any of them.
I'm trying to think. Well, Mark Henry, maybe? I mean,
yeah, Mark Henry's the old guard, and he comes and goes. I think people get behind him, and then they kind of, But, yeah, like, it's like people want change. That's the point. I mean, NXT, the jokes have started, and that's what the article I wrote about earlier in the week was about. The jokes have started. NXT is now the superior brand to people. This is a dangerous precedent to set, I believe, if you're the WWE.
I wouldn't say it's the superior brand. I would just say that it's been more consistently good than Monday Night Raw. Like if you scour social media when you're tweeting out Raw, you'll notice that fans are usually complaining about what they're seeing on television. You don't get that with NXT. Most of the responses are mainly positive.
Well, no, and like as I explained in the article I wrote, look, NXT, they have to fill 1 hour of TV a week. They do a little loop in Florida for their house shows. They do a two-hour special event every 3 months. If they were doing 10 hours of television, a pay-per-view every 4 weeks, I'm sure they would be getting the same kind of flack that we give to the main roster of WWE, even though it is talent that's superior and stuff like that. Anything that's overexposed, eventually, we will get sick of. I mean, that's just the truth. And John Cena is a classic example of that. I mean, we've had 12 years of hustle, loyalty, and respect. I'd like to tap out, please.
Well, here's the thing, and you alluded to the interview that they did on WWE.com, and I think Adrian Neville made a point. To the guys on the main roster who are getting complacent and are just mailing it in just because they enjoy their spot, they're on television every week, it's those NXT guys that are going to come up and basically move them out of their space because those are the guys that want to be there. They've been fighting on the independent scene. They've been basically working their way up for years and years and years. And once they do get to the main roster, they're going to show the world what they're really made of. Unlike these guys that we've been seeing time in and time out who do the same things every single week. That's why I want to see some of these NXT guys moved up.
And the example of that, honestly, look at Bray Wyatt. Look at the Shield. They came in and they just instantly rose up that roster like they were just literally melting butter. Like they were a hot knife through butter. It really was that simple for them. And it's because I think they have that hunger. When you looked at the Shield, all three of those guys, now one of them didn't come through the independence circuit, Roman Reigns, obviously, but all three of them had that hunger, that desire, that they weren't walking on those eggshells. Like, we always hear this whole thing about guys walking on eggshells in the WWE, afraid that they might lose their spot, they might lose their job. I don't think the Shield ever worried about that once.
They were the golden boys all along, and now look at who their adversaries were at the time. Look at the Wyatt family. Bray Wyatt isn't even on the Night of Champions card. What are Harper and Rowan doing? They're losing 20 times in a row, and they're facing Los Matadores on Superstars and Main Event. It's pathetic. The Shield have always been the favorites of WWE, and it's obvious by the way they're being booked right now.
But to his credit, Bray Wyatt has been the same. Like, Bray Wyatt, I don't think, has ever wavered in being his own person and being his own guy.
But that doesn't work, apparently.
Well, it did for The Shield, and it worked for him to a point. It got him a feud with John Cena at WrestleMania, which, you know, that's pretty big real estate to be a part of. You can argue he hasn't done the best with the opportunities that have been given to him, but it is what it is. The point being, though, there's a lot of guys that have been there and just kind of hang around, and you know, they try not to offend people, and that's what they do, and you're never going to get ahead that way. Like you're just not. You're going to be, sorry to mention it, but you're going to be the Miz and Dolph Ziggler. That's what you're going to be. That's the level you're going to be, because you're never going to press the envelope enough to get yourself anywhere.
It all falls back on the booking, though, and the creative team, and they have a lot for some of these guys who have a lot of talent and are just waiting to break out, but they can't do it because they're not given the right material. Like you said, Dolph Ziggler, who's facing The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, that's basically been his spot for a long time now, ever since he had his World Championship reign cut short from his concussion. And now it's just like, okay, he's in the mid-card, but he's not really going up, he's not really going down, he's just somewhere in the middle, and that's never good.
And they've been two polar opposites of how to go about it within this system. The Miz has been that corporate kiss-ass, for lack of a better term. He does everything they've ever asked him to do.
Which is fine.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Where has it gotten him?
Well, it got him a win in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, where The Rock basically got his win, and now he's basically buried and dropped off a cliff. Anyway, point being, Dolph Ziggler, kind of the polar opposite of that. He kind of plays up the fact that, you know, he's not happy with his role, he's not happy with everything, but he goes about it in a way that the WWE doesn't like, because he goes about it outside of their system. Like, he does these interviews that, you know, he kind of makes that the subject, and that's really not the point. So, you know, you have to do it within the show sometimes. You have to sometimes, you know, take a risk, take a chance, and I think, you know, a lot of the guys that are part of this roster right now won't do that. I think the guys that are in NXT, the Sami Zayns, the Adrian Nevilles, the Kevin Steens, Prince Devitt, you know, Hideo Itami or Kenta, whichever you prefer, they're all going to do that because they have nothing to lose. They have built up a 14-year career on the independent scene where they have a name tomorrow if the WWE fires them. They're back to doing what they were doing before and making a decent living at it. But all of their goals is to make it on that big stage and have that opportunity. And I think they're willing to take risks. And the one thing that I found interesting in that article, Sami Zayn was saying a lot of stuff that I was like, wow, that was pretty ballsy of him to say that and this and that. And, you know, the WWE needs guys like that. Those are the guys that get over. CM Punk gets over. Why? Because he's a great wrestler, yes, but because he says a lot of the things that people are already thinking that don't have the balls to say it, he does have the balls to say it, and people love him for it.
Well, it's just refreshing to see, like, the emphasis that WWE is putting on those five guys, and I think they're starting to realize that, you know what, if you come from the independent circuit or if you come from overseas and you have some sort of a following, it's easier to milk that because you don't have to put, like, a guy from NXT like a CJ Parker or a Baron Corbin, someone who's basically just pure developmental, put them on TV and then, you know, take months and months and months to accumulate a following. If you put Hideo Itami on television tomorrow or Sami Zayn on television tomorrow, not only are they going to have the support of the WWE Universe, they're going to have the support of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fans who knew their stuff from the independent circuit, and I think that's a good thing. And seeing that article on WWE.com and, you know, the headline, "This is this the future of WWE?" That just shows how much stock they have in these guys, and it's a good sign.
Not only that, in that article, we saw names that we talk about. Adam Cole was mentioned in that article. The Young Bucks were mentioned in that article. Who was the other one? Johnny Gargano was mentioned in that article. Like, the WWE has changed their philosophy in a major way. Like, we would never see those names in a WWE article, ever.
And now they are.
And now they are. And now it's like, it's this brave new world. And as much as people may not want to give him the credit for it, this is Paul Levesque making all of this happen. This is not Vince McMahon.
It is, yeah.
Vince McMahon, you know, whatever you want to think about him, here's the reality. Vince McMahon didn't know who Kevin Steen was. He didn't know who Sami Zayn was. He didn't know who... He might have known who Kenta was. I doubt it, but maybe. He didn't know who Prince Devitt was. He certainly didn't know who Adrian Neville was. Paul Levesque was the guy who knew who all those guys were. And he's the guy that brought them to the table. And he's the guy who's bringing a lot of other people to the table. And he's also, you know, he's not forgetting about, you know, developing people, too. He's bringing in, like, athletes who they want to try and make into stars. And, you know, that's fine, too. Like, they have to have a mix of talent. But certainly the guys that Paul's bringing in, they can go and they can wrestle. It's just a matter of teaching them the WWE way of doing things. But they're learning ways to do things, as was mentioned in that article, I think it was by Sami Zayn, that they do that every place they go. Whether they're working at a PWG or a New Japan, it's a different style, it's a different way of doing things. It's not the hurdle that some people seem to think it is for them to come into the WWE, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, so far so good for all these guys. And I think Sami Zayn, above all of them, he has been the star of stars. I mean, when you think about, like, obviously people loved him on the indies, and he was El Generico, and he had a mask, but all the changes that the WWE did to him, and he's adapted to all of it and made it all work. Like, to go from a guy who worked in a mask that didn't hardly speak any English to now cutting promos on a weekly basis, just being front and center on a promotion where you're one of the top guys and expected to be doing something every single week, you know, it's really amazing. Like he's come a long way, and he, like, for people that say, oh, well, Sami Zayn hasn't changed anything, I disagree. I think he's learned a lot in the time he's been in developmental, but he had the tools going in that he was able to learn what he's learned.
I think Sami Zayn is their next Daniel Bryan. To be honest, I think he's going to be that guy when as soon as he hits the main roster, fans are going to ride him to the top and push him as far as they can go, because I think he does kind of have like that ultimate underdog, undersized vibe, and they're basically pulling that off right now on NXT by not giving him the NXT championship. We thought for a long time that maybe the Fatal 4-Way was going to be his shot because Neville didn't have to get pinned, but you know what? Zayn gets screwed over in the end. The referee gets pulled out, and then you show even more sympathy to him, making his eventual victory. You know, does this sound familiar with Daniel Bryan, the whole WrestleMania thing? Making his NXT victory all the more sweeter. And when he does come to the main roster, man, the sky's the limit for him. I can't wait to see what he can do on television.
That's going
to
be his problem, you know. It's going to be that Daniel Bryan scenario where he can sell so well that they're going to almost want to keep him as this lovable loser. And that's going to be the challenge for Sami Zayn on the next level. To get any belt or title or whatever he has to do, he's always going to fight that stigma of, yeah, but he's so darn good when he loses and people get behind him still. And I mean, we talked about it last week when they had that NXT match on the show. Ole chant right away. The one guy that was the most recognizable in that match was Sami Zayn because of that Ole chant, and it started, and it was pretty audible for a guy who, I'm not sure everyone in that crowd knew who he was, but enough people knew that they got that Ole chant going.
You just got to teach the common fan who exactly he is, and they've been starting to do these video promos for him, and some of them have been really good about his appearances on NXT. You know, the hardcore guys like us, yeah, we know his El Generico past, and we know his Ole thing, but you have to make everyone aware of that, and as soon as everyone catches on, it's going to be great.
And the interesting thing about Sami Zayn is he doesn't really have a gimmick, per se. He's just this guy, Sami Zayn, who's kind of wrestled all over the world, and, you know, he knows all these guys that happen to be coming into the promotion, and he doesn't really have a gimmick to him, though. And I kind of like that. I mean, I don't need a gimmick for every single guy. I mean, why can't some guys just be guys?
Well, isn't that what they're kind of doing with Hideo Itami? They're not giving him some sort of stereotypical gimmick, either.
A little bit. Music is kind of
It's rock. He has the Oriental stuff playing in like the first 4 seconds, but after that, it's just pure rock.
I don't know. It remains to be seen. We have some work to do there before I want to form an opinion there. But you know, and very much that was another thing that they brought up though in that interview was this whole idea of stereotyping and pigeonholing them based on where they're from. Sammy and Kevin being from Canada. And Kevin being a French Canadian, well, Sammy too. But all these stereotypes, they wanted to avoid them, and wanted made a conscious effort to avoid them. And I think that's the right way to go, because I'm sorry, the standard gimmicks that Vince comes up with that are based on culture are horribly offensive and don't work in 2014. Sheamus isn't getting over. Being Sheamus, it's not going to happen. It just isn't. And I mean, the same thing we mentioned briefly, Becky Lynch, that gimmick with the girl in NXT, that never should see the light of day on the main roster. And this is Vince's thinking, as opposed to Paul's. I think what we're seeing basically going on in the WWE is a war of wills. It's Vince McMahon's will versus Paul Levesque's will. Paul Levesque, even though fans seem to hate him, believe it or not, he's the guy that's actually on your side, and Vince McMahon is the guy who isn't.
He's more in touch with the fans, and he reads the Twitter feeds, and he reads the Facebook comments, and he has a better understanding of what, you know, Vince McMahon just fails to realize, and that it's the fans that ultimately decide the WWE's, you know, success. And I think right now it's kind of like, Vince has an idea of what he wants, and he's just going to shove it down our throats until we accept it. But fans are smarter than that, and they're retaliating, and I think it's showing in the ratings, slowly but surely, and it's showing with the Monday Night Raw last week when Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins happened, but there was still a main event segment with Henry and Rusev, but half of the crowd left.
Yeah, but that's because there was a fundamental change in the way the WWE does business, and God is my witness, I never remember them doing this in the 30-plus years I've been a fan of this company. I never remember this happening. They basically admitted that something else was out there, and you were going to watch it, and they were okay with it. That whole idea of halftime, and Zena, and Cena, and Paul Heyman, that was all geared at the Monday Night Football audience. I mean, it was obvious.
Terrible.
And I've never seen them do it, ever. The only time I can even come up with something that was even remotely like that, but it was nothing like that, was when they did Halftime Heat for the Super Bowl, where you had The Rock versus Mick Foley in the empty arena match. But that wasn't a show they would normally do. So it was almost like a special event that they put on. But now they're almost admitting, yeah, we understand. If it's a good Monday Night Football game, you might not be watching us. So, but hey, we got this really cool thing. When halftime's on, don't go to the bathroom. Don't go get a snack. Come watch us. That was just terrible. It breeds to this overall desperation with this company right now. I mean, the ads for the network, they just get more depressing and desperate by the day. I don't know what's going on within the walls of that company. They just don't seem to be the company that they have been in the past.
You mean you're not a fan of those rock and roll boy band 999 commercials?
Not particularly. I think they kind of come off like, you know, the cheesy local car salesman that has the auto dealership down the block. They kind of come off like that.
Yeah, it's pretty desperate, I'll give you that. But, the whole admitting about the Monday Night Football thing, and let's face it, the Lesnar-Cena interaction was basically the main selling point of Raw. And putting it on, you know, during halftime or whatever, basically said, you know what, you don't really have to watch the rest of the show, even though they had the Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins advertised. You know what, the whole booking of Raw was a huge mess, and it bit them in the butt.
Yeah, and it's been, I want to say it's been a month of this now. Like, it's no longer, you know, oh, well, we had an off week, or oh, this happened, or, you know what it's starting to be like? It's starting to be like how TNA used to be. TNA used to always have the excuses for why they couldn't get a rating. Oh, well, the NCAA basketball was on, the tournament. Oh, well, now the NBA playoffs were on. We couldn't get a rating there. Oh, well, you hold the new season of Big Brother started. That one was for you, by the way, Walder.
Nice.
Like, you know, they had every... They were like the kid who always forgot to do his homework. They always had some excuse. The dog ate it. My mom locked me out of my room and I couldn't use my computer. Fans have reached the point, we're tired of your excuses and we're tired of your $9.99.
Well, that's basically what excuses are. They're just that, excuses. And there's only so many times you can use those, well, football was on lines, and it doesn't change the fact that your ratings are going down. Maybe you should focus more on what you're putting out and then, you know, stop putting so much emphasis on what's going on Monday Night Football.
I think the problem is there's such a split focus right now. I think they're trying to save the network and they're trying to produce a show.
Yeah.
And they're failing at both. And that's a problem. We'll get to our Night of Champions picks at the very end. I want to briefly get into a little bit of ROH, a little bit of TNA. I don't really have much on ROH other than Adam Cole. That young man cut a tremendous promo on the match that we got to see with AJ Styles. Coming out of it, he said, you know, he's getting all these congratulatory tweets about his match with AJ Styles and texts and all this, and then just snapped and said, it doesn't matter because I lost. I was like taken back. It was like, wow, a wrestler that actually cares about the fact he lost the match. What the hell is going on? That's like so like old school. Congratulations, Adam Cole.
He's damn good, man. I was even watching some footage of PWG's Bola tournament or whatever, and he did a spot, and he had a six-man tag team match or whatever, and you know how the Young Bucks always tease like how they're going to like scratch the back of one of their opponents in, like, in the ropes or something, right? They do that a lot, right?
Yes, they'll tease like they're going to do this big giant spot, and then it'll be like a back scratcher or something. And that's the kind of stuff they'll do just at PWG because that audience will pop for it.
And then Cole, what he did was, like, he did, like, a reverse roll, like, five times. I think ACH was in the corner, and he just, like, rolled backwards five times. He gets up, he puts his hands out like he's going to scratch his back. He just says, screw it. He turns to the crowd, says, Adam Cole, baby! And the crowd went nuts. I was loving it.
Oh, Adam Cole is just, we love him. We are desperate to get him back on this show before the WWE takes him away from us.
Oh, yeah, he's their next big get right there.
I'm throwing it right out there. We want to get Adam Cole on this program before the end of the year. If we haven't, we have failed you. We have failed us. We have failed me. I want to get that interview in and get another chance to talk to Adam Cole because so much has happened since the last time he was on this show, and I'd love to get his take on it. And second thing I wanted to throw out there about Ring of Honor, I think they made a mistake in taking the belt off Adam Cole. I think it's clear now. Like I think this whole situation with Elgin and now Jay Briscoe is a champion, I just think it all could have been avoided if he kept the belt on Adam Cole. And
well, how long was he supposed to hold it?
Till final battle. His contract runs out then, and you figure out who you want to be that next champion. And I guess they thought they had with Michael Elgin, and no doubt they got a great moment out of that on pay-per-view. But I wasn't sold on Michael Elgin being able to carry that title and pull it off, basically. I just didn't think he was that guy, and you know what? I don't think I was wrong in that. And Jay Briscoe, I think Jay Briscoe just happened to be the guy that was there. I think his title reign is almost by accident.
And well, he had a lot going for him too. You know, having not been pinned for 2 years, and the fact he lost the title in the first place, there was a lot of controversy behind that. So Briscoe made sense. Elgin, you know, it was all about the moment. It was all about the chase with him, and as soon as he got it, it just fell flat.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it, but I just think Adam Cole, you know, if he was still the champion, I think ROH would be in a better place than they are right now. And
well, they're not really worse for wear, you know. I think they're in a decent spot. Cole's the better champion, but it's not like Briscoe's a scrub.
No, but their attendance has kind of dropped off a little bit. I mean, you know, little things where I think they could have had a stronger momentum, and they could have followed up and kept Adam Cole strong as the heel champion. And the thing is, too, Adam's a great representative for that company. When they put him out there to do the interviews, to do the talking, to sell that company to new fans, he'd be my first pick in Ring of Honor. Like,
yeah, he's very personable and very well-spoken.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest. I like Jay Briscoe. I met him on the street in Toronto. We've told the story a bunch of times on the podcast. Nice guy. Don't know if he'd be a great radio interview for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And Michael Elgin can be that guy, but, it's almost like with him, he's so low-key, and he's just... It's not that an interview with Michael Elgin isn't good. It's just, I don't know. It's not the type of interview that sells me on the product. It might sell me on Michael Elgin, but it doesn't sell me on ROH.
Well, Cole's is way more charismatic than Elgin. I think Elgin kind of is very mellow and low-key in that regard.
Well, I think Cole gets it, though, too. It's not just about selling Adam Cole. It's about selling the company that Adam Cole is working for. It's about selling the ROH title that Adam Cole has. He gets, like, it's a multi-level process, like, and a lot of wrestlers don't get that. And, you know, and one company that doesn't get that is TNA. They let the wrestlers go out there and just go rogue when they do their interviews, which, I mean, shouldn't happen. I mean, they should be squashing that kind of stuff. Where Adam Cole, you can send Adam Cole out and trust him. He's going to do a good job. Like, I can, if I was the king of ROH and owned Sinclair, and I said, you know, well, we got Adam Cole today talking on a radio station. I don't know, maybe I should tune into that one. He might, you know, say something bad. No, I wouldn't think that for a second.
Well, bottom line is, we want you back on the show, Adam.
That's true. That's our pitch to get Adam to come back on
the
show.
We've got a lot of slurping of him today, so I think it's about time we get him back.
Even if he doesn't come back, I don't care. He's great. I mean, when I saw his name in that article on WWE.com, I was like, oh my God, there's Adam Cole's name on WWE.com. That's great. And then, oh, the Young Bucks were there too. Wow. That's interesting.
Christmas in September for you, James.
Yeah, let's just put it out there. I am the guy who predicted Mount Rushmore will be in WWE in 2015. That's
looking good so far.
Yeah, we're doing all right. They're already on WWE.com, so we're getting there. Anyway, that's my take on ROH. I think Adam Cole certainly has done a great job with that company, and we'll see where things are heading with them. It's interesting times for that company, and I think, you know, they're doing all right. Of the three companies, they have had the least rocky 2014. There's no question about that.
That's very true, yeah.
And they have had their bumps, like, make no mistake about it. Kevin Steen, their biggest star, is now with WWE. You know, there have been a few bumps in the road for them. Obviously, the latest one with this whole thing with Michael Elgin and unfortunately, Silesia Sparks not being able to wrestle in America, which is a big problem for them. And we are on their side in that regard, no question, because I don't like people being restricted from being able to do what they do, because that's not the way we live. That's not freedom. That's not America. That's not this America that you know, this whole Rusev angle that we'll get to in a bit is based around. And that's not the America that, you know, Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter and now Mark Henry are talking about.
You got to say it properly, though. You got to say Murica.
America.
Murica. You don't even have to enunciate the A. You just have to say Murica.
I don't know. I've been getting killed for pronunciation. Someone brought up the fact that you did on this podcast about
what did I say?
You said about me calling John Cena instead of Cena. Someone brought that up. I don't know.
They agreed with me.
Well, yeah, in a
all
way.
All right.
This was over on Between the Ropes .com, and they just played it off that I'm Canadian, so there you go.
We say our C is a Z is here.
Yes. Well, our Z is a Z, as I pointed out.
No, that's true too. My name is Riss.
Anyway, before we leave Ring of Honor, we teased I have a little heat going with Jim Ross. it does involve Ring of Honor.
It's not even Heat.
It's Heat.
It's no Heat it's whatsoever. All right, I'll let you explain why this is completely overblown, but you can take solace in the fact that you pissed off a WWE Hall of Famer, although you didn't really, but carry on. Go ahead.
Anyway, Jim Ross was talking about Ring of Honor, and he mentioned their new champion, Jay Lethal, which it is not. It is Jay Briscoe, as we just discussed. And I just sent a funny tweet to Jay Lethal, who, on the side, we have been trying to get on this show for a long time. We want to make that happen. So I thought, we'll send Jay a funny tweet and mention that JR said he's the ROH champion and congratulate him. I guess Jay saw the tweet, thought it was very funny, and when Jay saw the tweet, that made JR aware of it, and JR asked me if I've ever made a mistake in my life and berated me, which was funny only because I made a mistake actually in the tweet that JR got offended about, because Briscoe I spelt with no E.
Oh, God.
So, yes, JR, I've made a mistake.
Spelling major here.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just saying. I apologize, JR. I'm a big man.
But did he accept it, though?
No, and that's the thing. So he's really the heel in all this.
See, I got the public apology accepted from Alicia Fox, so...
Well, that's great for you.
We're even Steven, but you and Ross, I mean, we might have to lock you two in a cage and book this thing hardcore, you know?
I doubt that's happening. I doubt he'll even remember it, but, you know, I was just playing this up a little bit, Chris Walder. It was just showbiz. You know.
Yeah, showbiz. That's exactly what it is.
It was. A little showbiz. But Jay Lethal liked it, so that's the important thing. What did you say? Sorry?
He didn't help the cause. He's pushing more animosity for Ross, and he's gonna make Ross hate you even more.
Yeah, he did run with the angle, by the way.
He kept going with it?
Yeah, he tweeted, that Jim Ross thinks he should be the ROH champion, hashtag he's right, and blah, blah, blah. So Jay Lethal, I am giving him an angle now, potentially. That should be enough to get him on the show, you would figure.
Oh, God. Get in touch with him, see if it works.
I've tried. I've reached out yet again. We're trying. Channel.
We still need that Savage off, man.
I know. That's why we're trying.
That's why we need it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
And now we have the Jim Ross story.
Yeah, now we've got the Jim Ross thing, which he obviously took to and liked and is using to promote himself. I think we can talk to him about how he feels about Silesia being trapped in Canada and how this is unfair to him as the Ring of Honor television champion. I mean, we've got lots we could discuss with the one Jay Lethal, so...
Either that, or we just have to, like, sit ringside at the next ROH event and hope he botches, like, a suicide dive and lands on you or something, and we'll use that as, like, breaking the ice. Hey, you want to come on the podcast? Like, right in the middle of the match.
Yeah, as I'm getting taken to the hospital, Jay Lethal, when I recover, could you please do my podcast?
Condo on the moon!
Yeah. As one Randy Savage fan to another, before I die.
Perfect.
All.
The price itself.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, we're working on it to get Jay Lethal as well. So we're trying to load up for the end of the year with some ROH talent. That's basically what I'm getting at. And that guest we were supposed to have that we didn't have. We're going to try and do that also heading into Final Battle. So there we go. So a little bit of ROH turned into a lot of ROH, and a little Jim Ross, and TNA. What do we have to say about TNA other than apparently now there's like four networks that want to spend very little money to have this fledgling company on their network. Dixie even coming out with this asinine statement that they can somehow survive working outside of the United States, like... What's going on?
They'll get a harsh taste of reality when they look at their buy rates for Bound for Glory, and they realize that all of their fans looked at the results one day prior because they have to tape the damn thing.
Yeah, well, they're Bound for Glory, which is supposed to be their WrestleMania show. It looks more like, actually, it's not even like Night of Champions because, like, half their talent isn't even going to be on the show. Like, it's... I don't understand what's going on with that company. I really don't. And the latest to come and save TNA, I'm sure you're aware of this, Walder, because you know all these spoiler things. Are you ready for it?
I know who it is, but yeah, go
for it. But are you ready for my leading to it?
Oh, I can only imagine what you're about to say. Or sing, maybe.
Well, I'm not going to sing it, but somebody's mama called Dixie Carter and Brodus Clay is now a part of TNA Wrestling, although I don't believe he's allowed to be called Brodus Clay, so...
Should we get an NXT chant going when him and Ethan Carter are out there? Because they were on the same season of that, weren't they?
That's the word on the street, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, what a ridiculous, nonsensical thing for TNA to do.
Hey, you know what? This might be it for him, because look at what the Derek Bateman to Ethan Carter III switch did for him. You know, it put him right in the main event, and he stayed there. Maybe it could be the same thing for Brodus, although it looks like it's just going to be like a one-off thing, kind of like what they did with Snitsky and Ezekiel Jackson there for a bit. I think they haven't really signed him to a contract. It's just for a couple of tapings.
Yeah, and we've seen old Tajiri on there. Like, it's like, I'm like, what old WWE face are we going to see next on TNA? Like, really, it's like, it scares me. Like, is the Goon still alive?
Remember when they did that 8-man tag team match a couple of weeks ago, and they had who's teaming up with Team 3D or whatnot, and it turned out to be Al Snow.
There you go.
That was their big reveal. And then everyone in the stands already had their damn mannequin heads.
Yeah. You know, how did that happen?
Good stuff, TNA.
TNA, I don't get it. I really don't.
Hey, if you want to hear spoilers, they have a new World Heavyweight Champion.
I do know this.
You do?
He's a Canadian.
He is Canadian. Should we leave it at that, or should we even
ruin
the product even more?
No, who cares? I mean, Bobby Roode has taken the title off of Bobby Lashley, because, hell, Bobby Lashley survived one MMA match. That's about all they're willing to risk.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
after that, if he loses, the credibility is gone.
I mean, when you think about it, too, like it's kind of a comical situation, because not unlike the WWE, Bobby Lashley was not supposed to be the TNA World Champion. Just like John Cena was not supposed to, or John Cena was not supposed to be the WWE World Champion. Neither was Bobby Lashley. MVP got hurt. He was the guy who was supposed to be the champion.
Well, at least he was believable. Big guy, you know, MMA background. But, yeah, does it really matter who the champion is of a sinking ship like this? It's like when Booker T won the WCW title on the final Nitro. Oh, whoop-de-doo.
My only thing is, there's very few people I will be sorry for when the TNA ship eventually sinks into the ocean. But Bobby Roode might be one of them, because I think he's a really talented guy, and it's not that he's a huge enough star that he could get into the WWE with no problem based on, you know, well, he's just that big a star. We have to have him. But he's definitely a good wrestler, and he definitely would fit on that roster. But that said, he's wasted so much time with that TNA brand that it's never going to happen.
And he's in his mid to late 30s now, so...
That's what I mean. And,
yeah,
and I mean, some people would say the same thing about a Samoa Joe. I wouldn't, because Joe a few times had opportunities, even though he says he's never talked with WWE. There were clearly moments where I think Samoa Joe could have went that route and chose not to. And maybe the same's true for Bobby Roode. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know, but... for some reason, I have sympathy for Bobby Roode, and I'm not so sympathetic to Samoa Joe.
Good guy, and, you know, been there since 04, so when TNA eventually goes down the crapper, you know, you can't help but feel a little bit bad for Bobby Roode, because he's such a talented guy, but there's no chance of him being up in NXT or WWE, his best bet. And the independent scene right now, there's a lot of money to be had, and I think he can make a decent living there.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, it is what it is, and obviously, you know, it's a tense situation for TNA, because, I mean, now they brought Bully Ray back on, like, a show-to-show basis sort of thing. It's crazy, like...
And that's one of the best things they've been doing, by the way. That series with the Wolves and the Hardys and Team 3D, That's worth tuning into Impact. Everything else is not.
Yeah, but that ends in disaster, right?
How so?
Well, one of the Wolves gets hurt, do they not?
I don't think so.
I believe so. I'm pretty sure one of them gets hurt and they never finish the series, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they finished it. Well, they had the match on Thursday. Or Wednesday, sorry, and the Wolves won the ladder match, unless something's happened recently that I'm unaware of.
Oh, is that the last match in the series?
No, they have, because everyone has one win, so they're doing a Full Metal Mayhem for the titles at the next tapings.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe one of the Wolves is back together. I thought one of them had screwed up one of their legs or something.
Oh, well, it could be the case, but from what I'm seeing, it doesn't look to be true.
Anyway, who knows? Davey Richards is who I thought had hurt his leg, so...
It's enough TNA talk, man. I'm getting nauseous.
Wow! I'm willing to talk about TNA for once, and Walter is tapping out.
No, you've got me on the bandwagon as far as just staying clear of this crap. We need to get to the good stuff. We need to get to our juicy picks for Night of Champions, because I'm itching to just say the Usos one more time.
Really? Okay, but before we get there, someone who's not on this card, who you have endorsed on this show, your thoughts on what Cameron did on Raw this week?
Oh, I thought we were going to avoid this.
Oh no, I was waiting to drop the bomb on you.
Oh, bless her bloody heart. I actually missed originally the spot where she dropped the leg on Naomi and she wasn't even on her back and she was demanding the ref to count. And then when I did see the ending where she was tapping out before the move was even locked in. I thought that was hilarious. That might be the worst performance ever by a diva. And you know what? I watched back in the early 2000s, there was a tag team match on Raw, and it was Bradshaw and Trish Stratus versus, I believe, Jackie Gata and Christopher Nowitzki, and that's considered to be one of the worst matches in WWE history. You know what? What Cameron did against Naomi is even worse than that. The fact that she still has a job, if there wasn't a total diva, she would have been gone a long time ago. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely true, and, you know, it's funny because Chris Jericho had both Cameron and Eva Marie on his podcast along with Brie Bella, and it was like, they were really trying to paint this thing of, like getting these girls sympathy. But, you know, last I checked, this is still called a profession in, like, professional wrestling and World Wrestling Entertainment. Why am I supposed to feel sympathy for these girls? If they can't perform and they can't do their job, guess what? Get off my television screen. I don't need to see you. Like,
well, that's WWE's fault. And I think she even said this on Total Divas where she was brought up after 3 months in NXT, and she even said she needed more time. So, but she needs to go out of her way and really work on her craft because she's a disaster right now. And it's just common sense. If she's on her bloody stomach, why the hell are you demanding a three count? That has nothing to do with seasoning. That's you knowing how to wrestle and the ins and outs of the sport. She knows none of it.
Yeah, but at least she wrote that nice song about, like, wrestling.
Oh, nah, who gives a damn?
Did you even listen to it?
I did listen to it.
It's bad, isn't it?
Naomi was bad too, but hers was at least listenable.
Yeah, this was not good.
Cameron is just a walking punchline.
I'm not sure what Cameron, like, actually does.
Yeah, what is she useful for anymore?
Yeah, I really don't know the answer to that. At least Vinny has a job. So,
yeah.
like if all this falls through, which it eventually will, at least Vinny will be able to provide a life for him and Cameron that she will find totally inadequate and probably divorce Vinny. But that said, you know, Godspeed to Vinny, basically, is what I'm saying.
Well, Cameron's a beautiful woman, but I couldn't do it. I'm afraid she'll bump into things. I'm afraid she'll, you know, start drinking, you know, gasoline or something stupid. You know, like, you know, it's like her brain is just shut off from reality. And
wow,
you know, I'm being awfully mean to this person who I've never met before. But you know what? After that match on Raw, what I'm saying now is probably tame compared to what she was probably tweeted after that match.
All I want to know is what Vince said in Gorilla.
Oh, it couldn't have been pretty.
Like, can you imagine Vince McMahon, who is literally sat at Gorilla position through it all, and he watches that?
And that's just another evidence why Raw should not be 3 hours, because if it was two, we wouldn't have had Naomi versus Cameron. So let's go back to 120 minutes, folks. Let's do this thing.
All right. So Night of Champions, Cameron is not on the card. I know you're upset about that.
Terribly upset.
But neither of the Funkadactyls on this card. The pre-show, we do not have a match book for this. We, strangely enough, have Chris Jericho, who we all know is leaving, on the Peep Show with Christian. Why are we doing this?
To get Christian airtime? Like, I have no idea why, exactly. Maybe they don't have anything else to put on the pre-show. I mean, Bray Wyatt versus Big Show would make sense. Even a damn Heath Slater and Titus versus Adam Rose and the Bloody Bunny would make sense. And you know what? With an hour pre-show, they might actually add one of those two to the card. But with Jericho, considering it's probably his last appearance, yeah, it's a little peculiar.
Yeah, some people were suggesting that Christian would get back in the ring. I don't think he's anywhere in that mind space or the WWE is with him. But it's odd. Like I don't know what we're going to get out of that. Like, it's obviously to set up something, but I'm just not sure what.
Maybe Jericho gets jumped during the segment and he can't even compete on the show. You ever thought of that?
Yeah, but then who replaces him? Christian?
Maybe they just pull Orton from the card and they just add like Wyatt Big Show or something.
I don't think that's happening, because Randy's already behind the scenes been bitching about his lack of a role on the show. So
well, he could interfere in the Rollins Reigns match too, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think Randy's going to be happy with that. The only thing I can think of is Christian does have a history going against Randy Orton.
Right.
So maybe he's going to try and talk Jericho out of this match or something.
Because
they were friends, they tagged together, blah, 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 maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to fill some time, it's going to kill some time. We'll see. But I don't think it means a Christian return, which is what some people were thinking. I highly doubt that.
Hey, I'd be open to a few more Orton versus Christian matches, because those were some of the best matches of 2011, I believe. So.
Yeah, but with all the concussions Christian has had, he's reached that point of he's had too many concussions for me to feel happy watching him wrestle. Like, I'd feel uncomfortable watching a Christian match now, because I like the guy and I don't want to see him get hurt.
Well, if they wanted to do kind of a retirement angle and just give Christian one last feud to go out and walk into the sunset with, I think Orton would be the perfect guy.
What do you mean, one last match for Christian?
That's one more, yeah, the whole thing, one more match, and just one last match with him.
That's never been done, oh my God. But yeah, no, it's just, you kind of reach that point. Like, as a Cowboy fan, I felt that way about Troy Aikman. Like, I didn't want to see Troy Aikman keep playing and take another hit, even though we've had to endure Tony Romo now, and that's a horror of its own. But for Troy's health and well-being, I never wanted to see him play once he took another concussion. And I kind of feel that way about Christian. I think he's taken far too many bumps. And I was talking about this with Josh on the podcast. It's amazing, really, that of the Hardy Boys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian, that four of those guys are still actively competing in wrestling today. That just boggles my mind.
They were big stars during their time. They still have longevity.
No, but what they put their body through to become those big stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's amazing that they're able to. Not that, you know, there's a demand to watch them compete. No, I think they'll always be all big stars in their own right based on what they did. But yeah, it's just amazing those guys are still all in one piece and together. That said, let's get to this card. I predicted it for Between the Ropes, and I can't remember some of my predictions. So if they change here, it doesn't mean that what I wrote doesn't mean anything. It just means I forgot about it.
Just means you're a flip-flopper, James.
Maybe. I don't think I'm going to flip-flop too much on this card. It's pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah, well, we said that about SummerSlam, and then I got, like, the first three matches wrong.
So here we go. Like I said, it looks straightforward, at least in the people that I want to pick. I know who I want to pick, and I know who I feel should win.
You feel confident.
I feel confident, which with the WWE, you never... excuse me. Which the WWE, you never should feel that way. But that said, let's start off with The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, and hopefully not stand-ins or actors and whatever else they're going to throw into this. I don't want to see R-Truth. I don't want to see Mizdow. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to see Tyler Breeze. I just want to see Miz and Dolph Ziggler in a match, and I want to see Dolph Ziggler win, and I think that's what should happen.
Yeah, I feel like this will be the opener. The belt's been playing a nice game of hot potato for the last 3 months. I think it needs to find some sort of consistent run with somebody, and Ziggler's doing a lot of good with the belt, so I'm picking him to retain the IC title.
Yeah, eventually Heel's going to get it, but it'll be when Wade Barrett's ready to come back, which...
True.
It's coming soon, but not that soon, so
yeah.
I think Dolph will hang on to it for a little while longer. Let's talk about our lovely Divas match. I think the one thing that is absolutely a 100% guarantee Brie Bella is getting involved in this match some way, somehow. It is just the some way, somehow that you can debate. I think what's going to happen is she's going to try and screw her sister. Instead, she's going to screw AJ Lee, and that sets off a whole chain of events where Nikki Bella becomes, unfortunately, your Divas champion. The Bellas feud for the belt. Paige is mad at AJ because the fact that she lost. AJ is mad at Stephanie for the fact that Nikki is in this match to begin with. And bingo, bango, bongo, all our Divas storylines can progress forward. And not that I like it, but that's what I think is going to happen.
I like that idea. I'm just going to play it safe, unfortunately. I think Paige is just going to retain the Divas Championship. I do think Brie Bella gets involved, but I think it's in the form of her kind of removing Nikki from the equation, and then Paige and AJ do their thing. Paige ultimately retains the Divas Championship. And you know, WWE is getting used to having multiple Divas storylines. You know, I mean, they combined the sisters into this AJ Paige program, but I think they separate again, and Paige walks away with the gold.
I think they're going to separate with that title, though, for the Bella feud, because they see the Bellas as these big stars.
They don't need the belt, though. That's the thing.
They do need the belt.
No, they don't.
They do. That's not
WWE's opinion.
They're doing such a bad job, they need the belt.
They don't care, though. They don't need the belt. What's a belt? Is the belt really going to make it that much better?
Yes, because you can now have the belt on Total Divas.
Oh, whatever. Even so, that wouldn't be until next season, probably, so who cares?
The belt has never been on Total Divas.
Yeah, because the best wrestlers in the division aren't, you know, these washed-up snobs.
Anyway, that said, what else is on this wonderful card? Oh, yes, the Dust Brothers, Gold and Star, taking on Chris Walder's favorite tag team, the Usos. And I am going with the Usos and praying I am right, although I will say this.
You jinxed them, damn it.
I'm going to say this, though. They have given them every babyface excuse in the world that they should lose this match. So I would not be shocked if, unfortunately, and I seem to be saying that a lot with these picks for this card, unfortunately, the Dust Brothers would become your tag team champions. Why? I have no idea who they would feud with coming out of this. I have no idea. But some way, somehow, I think the WWE is going to do this.
What worries me the most is that the Usos actually won on Monday Night Raw in their little six-man tag team match, making me think that they'll do a little bit of a swerve and kind of give the belts to the Goldust and Stardust. But no, the Usos have been my money horse. I've been picking them for months when everyone else has picked the Wyatt family and all these other teams to beat them and take the gold off of them. You know what? I'm riding the Usos all the way until WrestleMania when they lose to the Ascension. No, I'm not going to go that far, but yeah, Usos will win on Sunday.
This has got to be weird for you, though. This is like...
I don't even like him.
Yeah, in the pro sports analogy, this is like rooting for a rival team to win.
I'm picking the Yankees.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, Walder, your thinking is very strange to me.
It works, though.
For you.
Ooh, so...
Wow, okay.
God, if they lose, I'm blaming you. If they lose to the Dust Brothers, it's your fault.
Okay.
They're my pick, damn it.
Alrighty. Walder, as you can see, very fired up about a team that he doesn't like winning a match.
Exactly.
If you can figure that out, let us know at Condo on the Moon on Twitter and give us an explanation for why Walder is this weird. We'll read it on next week's show if you actually come up with something good. That said, moving on, we have the match that we gave away on Monday Night Raw. We have Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose somewhere out there likely to somehow get involved in this match. It would seem fairly obvious, although, you know, I'm tempted to wait till Monday. Because Ambrose, when he comes out, the pop he is going to get is going to be massive. If it's not, it's a major disappointment.
So it wouldn't be at Night of Champions?
No, I'd say almost save it for Raw. Like, let him have that moment where he comes out. Like, whatever the result is with Seth, like, say Seth becomes... Say we're right and Seth does somehow become the world champion. Wouldn't it be great if Dean Ambrose shows up on Raw and totally... screws with him winning the title? And
do you think if Seth becomes champion on Sunday, which I still think is a big long shot, do you think they would actually go with an Ambrose Rollins WWE title feud?
Absolutely. I mean, put it in the Hell in the Cell. Like, they've had a long enough feud that you could obviously put it in the Hell in the Cell. But yeah, I mean, Hell in a Cell match, those two, yeah.
For the title and the main event?
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you want change, that's change.
That's your main event program with Lesnar not around, so...
Yeah, like, that's change. That is different. Like, that is way different for WWE. That is radically different.
But you're not getting away. You've got to pick a winner in the... Or just a result in the Reigns-Rollins match.
I think Seth Rollins wins by disqualification because Dean Ambrose will, in fact, show up, even though I don't think that is best... For business, I think that is what they'll do.
I'll agree with you. Rollins by DQ.
There we go. So, up next, we have the Battle for America. I am cheering.
America.
I am cheering for Alexander Rusev, mainly because our Canadians are not let into America to wrestle. So, until that time where that is eradicated, Alexander Rusev is my guy. Go, Russia, go. Crush the American in front of you, which happens to be Mark Henry. But I think this will probably be a good competitive match. I think Mark Henry and Rusev, it should be a good match. I think it'll put over, like, Rusev will not just crush Mark Henry. He's going to have some trouble doing it. And that doesn't hurt at this point, because I think we've seen Rusev do enough squash jobs that we now kind of want to see him get tested more, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it won't be a classic, but it'll be a lot better than what a lot of people are probably envisioning at this point. Rusev beats Henry, probably with the accolade, and then I think you have to just roll the dice with him and put him in, like, against a main event level guy, and I think John Cena would be a perfect fit. We'll get into what I think he's doing in the main event later, but... The rumors are right now are Cena versus Rusev, so Rusev over Henry, and then put him in the main event.
I don't know. Too soon for Cena Rusev. That's a Royal Rumble or Survivor Series type thing. I think it's not going to be WrestleMania. I know some people are thinking that, but I think with all the cards up in the air for WrestleMania, I think John Cena has a number of potential opponents, none of which would be lower than Rusev. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to wait that long, but I don't think it's his next program either. So, we'll see. But anyway, have I forgotten anything other than our world title match before we move
the
on?
U.S. title match?
Oh, yes, the U.S. title. We have Sheamus and Cesaro, and I am going to hesitantly, really hesitantly say that... See, I'm getting beeps. I'm already... scared about this pick. Cesaro will win over Sheamus. I have no confidence in this, but it is the right thing to do, and I'll assume that the WWE gets at least one thing right on this show, and maybe this is it.
Yeah, I agree with you, my Swiss boy. I just almost dropped the phone. Maybe Cesaro was a jinx pick. It's beeping on your end, and I'm dropping the damn phone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going with Cesaro. It's Night of Champions. I have to pick someone to win. A title change somewhere. I had the Usos retaining. I had Paige retaining. I had Ziggler retaining. I got to pick a new champion. Cesaro's my man.
Yeah, I figured out where it has gone wrong for Cesaro, though.
Where?
Well, you know what it is?
What?
He insulted John Cena because he is the Swiss Superman. How dare he? There is only one Superman in the WWE.
We can't have imitations.
That's right. And that man wears hustle, loyalty, respect on his chest. And no big S. Or C, by that matter. None. But anyway, yeah, Swiss Superman. That's
And we also have the Jericho-Orton match. Let's not forget that.
Oh, yeah! See, I'm just trying to rush through all this.
It's not an interesting pay-per-view.
No, it really isn't. Jericho Orton, you can flip a coin, but Jericho's leaving. If it isn't Randy Orton, it's stupid. So, I say Randy Orton by just the matter of the WWE clearly can't be that stupid.
I'm actually going to give the win to Jericho, and I'm going to have Randy Orton take him out after the match.
Okay, yeah, you could do that, I suppose.
I think it would be a nice little swerve.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Christian gets involved and distracts Jericho.
Yeah, Christian.
Christian becomes Randy Orton's manager.
That's what we're talking about at the water cooler on Monday morning. Hey, did you see Christian get involved?
Yeah, Christian is now a heel manager for Randy Orton.
Change is coming, folks.
Yeah, and the peep show's back. Randy Orton, like his father back in the old days, he will stand in the background at the peep show, just like Dad did on Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
And if anything gets out of hand, Randall Orton will be dropping RKOs on everybody on the peep show.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. There was that, and we got the U.S. title. So now we're on to the big main event that everyone is so excited for and would be even more excited if they had it went my way and made this an I Quit match, because then I think it becomes very interesting. I think the way they have gone to build this match is not interesting at all. So with that great build-up to our main event, I say Brock Lesnar retains his title, but I think the story between Paul Heyman and John Cena is not done. I think Paul Heyman is bound and determined to make John Cena a bad, bad man and a Paul Heyman guy.
Well, God, that would be a if you want change, that's the best you can get right now. But
that's not happening. John Cena's already told us it's not happening. And that's why this whole entire build has sucked, because it all started before it ever got started. John Cena had that famous quote that went around the internet of that he was never going to be a heel.
Yeah.
Which really took all the steam out of this. So, that's it. Way to go, John Cena. Way to kill your own heat.
At the end of the day, Brock Lesnar retains the title. Continues. He's not losing it until WrestleMania, so I'm going to pick him until I'm given a reason not to, really.
Well, the Big Show, that's a challenge he might not be able to get through.
That's not even funny as a joke. Like Big Show, I don't even want to envision them having another match. No more Big Show Lesnar crap. Oh, can he lift the Big Show and do the F5? Can he suplex the Big Show? Yeah, he can. Damn it, we don't care. We know Lesnar's strong.
No, what I want to know is, can Brock get in more chair shots than the last time he faced the Big Show?
He did 15. Can he do 16?
The number of suplexes he had on John Cena.
Ugh.
Oh boy. Anyway, yeah, we both agree Lesnar will retain. Any surprises that we will see on this show? Anything off the script that you expect to see? Do we see, like, you know, craziness where Sting will show up or Kevin Steen or anything like that? Or is this just going to be your standard fare?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway is that we're not going to hate it. I think the next night on Monday Night Raw, I think it's going to be another example of Payback where the booking was terrible, but the matches itself really delivered across the board. So, it's not going to be the pay-per-view of the year, but it's not going to be a train wreck. So I'll give credit to the guys and girls who are performing. I think they're going to put on a solid start-to-finish show. But, again, when you put so much emphasis on the main event, it's going to be hard to really, give it 5 stars unless Lesnar and Cena delivers, because that's what they've been shoving down our throats for weeks and saying how Cena, can he persevere? Can he redeem his loss at SummerSlam? That's going to tell us if we love it or hate it. But good matches across the board. Looking forward to it regardless.
And one last question. Is there any way this match can end where we end up with a third one?
No, I think if Lesnar wins, he can't do a third one, especially after what he did at SummerSlam. If he wins again, that's it for Cena.
Yeah, I don't see how you get a third one out of this, unless you do something really kooky. But, I mean, that was the thing. Like, if we played last year's WWE in our head, insert Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan into the mix, they literally milked that feud for, like, 3-4 matches. I mean, they dragged it out to Hell in the Cell. I don't see them doing that again. But, you know, it'll be interesting because I don't know. I guess your main event will be for Hell in the Cell, assuming we don't see Lesnar on that show, which I don't think we will. John Cena will try and extract his revenge in Hell in the Cell against whoever screws him.
Which, don't sell the Rusev thing short, man. Apparently there's plans for that.
I don't know. I think it's too soon, and I just don't. I think they want to keep this Paul Heyman storyline alive. I think that's a way to justify Paul staying on TV while Lesnar's the champion. If he's constantly trying to recruit Cena, I think it keeps Paul on TV, it gives him something to do, and makes for an interesting storyline, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's just, it's hard to... It's really a mystery after Night of Champions. Like, they can go in so many different directions, and we wouldn't even know if Lesnar wins who his next big challenger would be. So, yeah, tune in Sunday, folks. $9.99, WWE Network.
Yeah, it really... They joked about a season premiere a couple weeks ago. It's kind of going to be like the season premiere after this pay-per-view, because I think there's not a lot of storylines that I can see continuing coming out of this pay-per-view.
Well, besides Ambrose Rollins, everything else is a mystery.
Yeah, but Ambrose Rollins, like I said, it's going to be a year-long feud. It's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
And I still maintain that. We've made it, like, how I said that, like, a long time ago. We've already made it to September. Like, we're going strong. What if this movie hits for Dean Ambrose? What if he gets another one? We can keep this going till WrestleMania.
Perfect. No complaints here.
And by the way, I saw some photos of Ambrose in that movie. Really fits that part of a cop well.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. Like, when I see Dean Ambrose in his gear for WWE, the last thing I am thinking is, that's a law enforcement officer.
He's on the other end. He's behind the bars.
Yeah, he's the guy who gets arrested, isn't he?
Yeah.
But strangely enough, he looks the part of Joe Cop in this movie. So I'm interested to see what happens with that for young Dean Ambrose. Maybe he will, like The Rock, leave us all and go to Hollywood.
James Dean in the making.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, hey... We joke, but no one saw The Rock becoming as huge a star as he became.
That's true.
Like, I mean, we'd seen Hulk Hogan do some pretty crappy movies and get a little bit of buzz in Hollywood, but never like The Rock. Like, he's been a phenomenon that no one could have imagined.
Well, fingers crossed for Ambrose, then. I don't think he'll reach those levels.
No.
You never know.
No, I think, like, we're going to go a little long here, but I want to play this all out. We're talking, like, movies and wrestlers. Let's take some names, and we'll kind of make a scale for wrestlers in movies. I think the top of the scale is obviously The Rock. We would agree.
Yeah.
The bottom of the scale, Hulk Hogan?
I'm trying to think of someone who's been in some really, like...
Roddy Piper would be my other one.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think of guys that have been in Triple H, actually. I would put Triple H under both Hogan and Piper.
Wow. I'm not putting the game below I will take Mr. Nanny and put it up against your chaperone, sir.
Yeah, but those were the movies that were being made in the 80s and early 90s. Like, you have to kind of realize that.
Okay, the point, I think just because of the level of stars they are, I think Hogan should be at the bottom. So Triple H is right next to Hogan if you want him to be. That's fine. Roddy Piper's down there. Stone Cold is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
He's to the lower end, though. So who else has done movies?
Batista? I think he's near the top.
Yeah,
now.
Batista, he's kind of the upper tier. Kevin Nash had a little bit of success. Magic Mike 2, he's going to be in that.
Oh, great. Not going to be naked, is he?
Well, he's been working out like he probably will be.
Yeah, he might be, yeah.
He's at least going to be showing parts of his body that he doesn't normally.
Probably.
Let's put it that way. Not a movie that I have seen, but I hear it was very popular with the ladies. But anyway, point is, Kevin Nash, probably in that mid-range. He's had a bunch of little bit part roles that have done all right.
Yeah, well, is there anybody else we're missing?
I'm trying
That's
to
like
think.
That's like the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers and movies.
Movies. This could have been like a whole episode all on its own. But anyway, with that pantheon of wrestling aficionados in movies. Oh, Hornswoggle. He's probably at the bottom, right?
Yeah, he's worse than them all.
The Leprechaun. Kane, too! We forgot Kane!
Oh, yeah, Kane!
How can we forget?
Kane, oh.
And I even thought of another one. We mentioned him on this show, too. Brutus Clay did a movie.
Oh, yeah. And Wade Barrett?
Well, Wade Barrett barely talks. I don't know if that counts.
Well, Hornswoggle doesn't even talk. I mean, he's the main lead.
David Otunga also was in a movie.
You know what? Kane is actually a convincing movie monster, and I'm not going to actually bury him in terms of an acting. I wouldn't want to see him in, like, The Bourne Identity or anything, but I'm totally okay with him, like, slashing, stupid teenagers for a bit.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. So, anyway, where does Dean Ambrose fit in this whole equation? That was going
to
be
the
question.
Movie. Gotta wait to see the movie.
All right. Oh, you know who we forgot to?
Who?
The Miz.
The Miz.
And John Cena.
Oh, it's Cena. We try to forget these movies. You know, the Marine. Like, it's better to pretend like they never existed. The guy with the movie actor gimmick, and we didn't even bring him up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that's how over the Miz is with us people. We forgot he was actually really in movies. So there you go. Oh, and of course, we don't know this one yet, but Summer Rae, also starring in that Marine movie.
I'll just mute it when she's talking. I'm cool with it.
Come on, that there's a question. Who will be worse in the Marine movie, The Miz or Summer Rae?
There's a poll right there.
Yeah. We have to come up with a new poll question. Maybe that will be it. Probably not.
The Marine, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe that would be a fun poll question. The best wrestling movie actor not named The Rock.
Yeah, Batista will get his votes.
He will. He's kind of... I think he'd win just because he's in the hot now movie of the moment.
Yeah.
And that always slants the verdict. But yeah, so that was a podcast. Hope you enjoyed. We had a little fun there at the end with the movie stuff. We just went totally off the rails. We had more fun with that than talking about the pay-per-view coming up Sunday. That bodes not well.
That's a future podcast. James and Walder at the movies.
Yeah, we should do like, some people have gone to do this, reviewed like WWE movies. That would be...
I don't think I can take that.
I know, that would be, reviewing The Chaperone.
Well, I call dibs on all the Guardians of the Galaxy sequels, and then you can take everything else. How about that?
I don't know. This probably isn't...
a compromise.
This probably isn't going to happen, folks. We're just spitballing, and we should have already said goodbye on the podcast, but... We tend to do this on the show. If you're a frequent listener, you know that. So anyway, we are done. We hope Night of Champions is better than we think it will be. And wrestling gets back to being entertaining, because it certainly hasn't been for the last month, Chris Walder.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a
Not
little
a lot,
bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of sucked. And no question, the one guy who's benefited from all this, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah,
he's not attached to any of this.
Stay away, Dean.
Yeah, if Dean stayed away another couple weeks, I think we could build a case to have him put in the Hall of Fame. I really do. Dean
there
Ambrose, Hall of Famer.
There
we
go.
Remember how great he used to be. When he left, wrestling truly died.
Oh, God.
And on that happy note, we bid you a fond farewell, and we will be back next week on this very podcast and talking more professional wrestling in your ears. So stay tuned and follow us on Twitter at Condo on the Moon and see if JR ever forgives me.